Merry Christmas, everyone. This is Tom Berlin, and with me is Tim Ward. And we want to welcome everybody from Florists and Restoration to this time together. We're going to have a brief time together. We're going to have some messages. We're going to have Captain Kendall with us in just a few seconds. And she is very excited because she's got a very special room all worked out. And you never know when she's going to pop in. But kids, she's going to take you off into the Captain Kendall land and tell you about Christmas and tell you the Christmas story. We also want to let you know, coming up in January, we invite you to participate in a sermon series at both Florists and Restoration called Deeper Conversations. In that series, we're going to look at different religions and how they compare to Christianity. We think it's going to help you grow in your faith and help you understand your neighbor better than you do right now. And so we hope that you'll come and be a part of that in January.
I know how generous you are, and I know many of you are going to want to have an opportunity to give to Florists and to Restoration this morning. You can do that by going to either website, floristumc.org, restorationrestin.org, and going to the top right, there's a little button that says give up there. You can do that after this time today. You can do it right now if you want to take a break to do it. What I want to tell you is that I am so grateful for your generosity throughout this year. You all have given so much so that we can actually make transformation in the world. Thank you for doing that. I hope that you'll take that opportunity to do that today as well.
Tim and I were talking about how to spend this time, and we thought that we would just both briefly share with you a great memory that we've got, it's great to us at least, of Christmas and the meaning of Christmas, and maybe a memory that occurred to us in childhood. And so we're going to take just a little bit of time to share some of that.
One of my favorite Christmas traditions, all-time favorite things, is that my grandparents used to come early on Christmas Eve morning, stay with us all through Christmas Eve day, spend Christmas Eve night with us, and be there Christmas morning as well. And we didn't have an extra room in our home, so my room was the guest room whenever anybody would come. So I loved opening up my room for my grandparents. Now, I had to prepare a little bit for that. I had to clean up my room, make my bed, get that ready, get my clothes out for the next day so that we were really gonna give that space to them while they were there. And I remember that was a real joy for me. It was never a chore to prepare for my grandparents because I loved them coming so much. My grandmother especially was really into Christmas. She would wake up early on Christmas morning, wake all the kids up and take us down to see what Santa had gotten us. Now I remember one specific Christmas where I asked for a gift that to some of you might seem a little strange, but was completely normal to me. I asked for a motorhome for Christmas.
Like an RV motorhome.
An RV motorhome.
And like a giant Winnebago.
I mean, giant, it's all
Airstream,
in perspective, right?
I
asked
like this is your idea
motorhome.
Of a Christmas.
I did.
Nice.
I did. Now, we were a big camping family, so
you
that's why this was important.
Boy,
a big expectation boy. We didn't tent camp like some families do, like many families do. We had a pop-up camper. But if you're a family that has a pop-up camper, you look over and the next campsite's over and you see those big motorhomes that have antennas on them and bathrooms in them and air conditioning, and you kind of long for that type of camping. So I really wanted that. And I asked several times, every time I would run into somebody who would listen that year, I asked for a motorhome. Now, my grandmother knew that there was no way that Santa could fly a motorhome on his sleigh. It was simply impossible. But she was in it with me the whole time. She said, I'll go out with you on Christmas morning and we'll hang out in the motorhome. And I could picture my grandmother and I out in this motorhome in the driveway. Now, that morning, I didn't get it. I never got that for Christmas. But I wasn't disappointed. And I wasn't disappointed because my grandmother was there with me. She, whatever I got for Christmas that year, and I don't remember what it was, she was there to comfort me and to play the game or whatever I got, and that was really important as well. As I thought about all of the preparing that we used to do with my grandparents, because they aren't with us anymore, but when I thought about the preparation that we did, I thought about the Christmas carol, Joy to the World. It's one of my favorite songs, and there is this line in there that says, prepare him room. And I thought about how much I loved preparing for my grandparents when they would come and stay with us, and how I wonder how many of us long on Christmas Day to prepare space for Christ, to prepare room for him to be in our Christmas. I don't know what your Christmas Day looks like. Some of you may be traveling, others of you may be staying home. I don't know what's going on, whether there are presents involved or what you're doing. But whatever you're doing, I want to encourage you to prepare space for Christ in this day. Today. One of the things our family does, and you may find this silly, you can do whatever tradition you want, but on Christmas Eve, usually we bake a cake And then on Christmas morning, we put candles on that thing and we blow out the candles and we sing happy birthday to Jesus. And it's something that my kids look forward to every year so that we can take that time to remember Christ in the middle of Christmas. You're already doing that by spending time watching this today and spending time in this worship experience with us. So I hope that you'll do that. And I don't believe that Christmas is the only day that we prepare room for Christ. I hope that it's really this springboard for preparing time every day for Christ to be in your life, because I believe it actually changes your life. So I'm really grateful that you've taken time to do this today, and I hope that you're preparing space for Christ this very day. And right now, friends, we're going to turn to Captain Kendall.
Merry Christmas! G.I. Joseph and I are here to tell you the Christmas story. It's the greatest story ever told, and what a great day to tell the story, because it's Christmas. All my animal friends came, and they want to help me tell the story, and they all wanted to dress up and help me tell it. And so let's start. It all starts with Gabriel, right? Gabriel the angel appears to Mary, and Gabriel says, "Mary, Mary, don't be afraid. You have found favor with the Lord. You will soon give birth to a baby, and you will name him Jesus, and he will be super, super great." And then the angel left. Mary thought about what the angel had said. She was very, very faithful, and she loved God so much. And she said, "Okay, it will be just as you say." Meanwhile, Caesar Augustus, Caesar Augustus is actually King Shishkebab in disguise. Caesar Augustus ordered a census to be taken. Now remember, a census is just a fancy way to say he wanted to count the people. He ordered a census so everyone had to be counted. Now that's the reason that Mary and Joseph had to travel from Nazareth all the way to Bethlehem. It was a very, very long way, and they needed to ride a donkey. So guess which animal friend wanted to be the donkey? It's Ellie. Ellie wanted to be the donkey because Ellie is exactly the right color. And so Joseph and Mary got on Ellie, and they traveled a long, long way to Bethlehem. Once they finally got there, it was time for Mary to be giving birth to the baby. But there was no room. There was no hospitals. There was no place for them to be to give birth to the baby. The only place they could go was out back with the animals. And so that's what they did. And soon, it came time for the baby to be born. And Mary gave birth to the baby Jesus. She wrapped him in clothes and she placed him in a manger. Meanwhile, out in the fields, the shepherds were tending their sheep. Another angel appeared. "Look, it's Ebenezer." Ebenezer appeared to the shepherds. The shepherds were very afraid. They were shaking. They were scared because they had never seen an angel like that before, especially one like Ebenezer. But Ebenezer said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you great news. A Savior has been born on this very day. And you need to go to Bethlehem to see him. You must go at once. Go at once, right away." And then the angel left. And do you know what the shepherds did? They went to Bethlehem, just like the angel said. And when they got there, everyone was there with the baby Jesus. And that, my friends, is the greatest story ever told. Always remember this story. We are so grateful to God, for Jesus was born on this very day. I hope you all have a wonderful day with your family and friends. Have a merry, merry Christmas.
Hi, I'm Barbara, one of the pastors at Floris, and I thought that I would read to you the story from the scripture. This is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now while there was in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made wide known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. Would you bow your heads and let's pray together. Holy and gracious God, how good it is to hear your words from the scripture. We give you thanks that these words have been saved for us so we might know the story of the birth of Christ. And I pray that all of us would remember this story and it would shine a light into our life today and in the days to come. Amen.
And Tom, what about you? What's one of your favorite Christmas memories that you want to share with us today?
You know, Tim, I've actually been thinking a lot about this because my parents, as I've mentioned before, this year moved out of the home we grew up in. They've been in that house for like 56 years, I think. And they've moved to a different home, which has been really great and a good decision for them. But it's really weird not being in that home on this first Christmas. And one of the things that I think about this time of year, there was a tradition in their neighborhood, in our neighborhood, growing up. From the time that I was a little child, people would put out luminaries. So they would take a picture of a white paper bag, and then you'd put sand in it, and then you'd put a plumber's candle in it, and the whole neighborhood would light all of these luminaires. And so every home would do this, and then people in town on Christmas Eve would drive through our neighborhood to come look at these luminaries, and they really were beautiful. There were years that just about every single family in the entire neighborhood, and I'm talking like a couple miles worth of luminaries now, lit these things. So if you would go up on a hill, for instance, you could look down and see all of these lights, and that also required preparation. Like mm-hmm. You talked about preparing for your grandmother. The luminaries, we would start like a day or two before. There was a woman down the street, Mrs. Affleck, and she always had the big sand pile. She would get sand delivered to her home, and we would go down there with a shovel, and I remember being a little kid and just, you know, it's like you were talking about preparing the bedroom for your grandparents to be there, and this thing of going down to Miss Affleck's house and getting the sand and putting in the luminary bags, it was just a very big deal. And we always, my dad was really good about making a thing about it. And when you were getting the sand, you'd always run into other neighbors, and other neighbors would be getting their luminaries together. And so on Christmas Eve, about, I don't know, 2-3 in the afternoon, you'd see families begin to set these out in front of their homes. And so that became a time where we all used to walk around and talk to each other and catch up with each other and wish each other a Merry Christmas. And then Everybody would kind of go back in their own way, and then at sundown, which is usually around 5 o'clock, you would see people coming out on the street again, and these were like every 3 feet in front of the whole house and up the driveway. And so we would just light these, and you could watch the neighborhood sort of come alive.
Like it would all light up at the same
time?
They
would all start lighting up. Wow. And like some of your neighbors, Ms. Affleck was a single woman and her husband had passed away, so we would go down and help her light her luminaries, and maybe, you know, some neighbor isn't feeling well that year, and so you'd go over and help them. And it just became a time to really be in community with other people. And we were all connected by that light, oddly. We were connected by setting up these little lights in the darkness. And one of my two things that I think about, I remember going up on the hill above our home, because up there you could look down and see, you know, a couple streets worth of these luminaries. And sometimes we would go up to the middle school that was way on top of this hill, and you could look down and see the whole neighborhood. And that was really remarkable because you could see all the light in the darkness. And then the second thing is, before I would go to bed on Christmas Eve, I would always stand in my bedroom window, and I could look out because our house was up on a hill. You could see these luminaries, and those would burn well past midnight. In fact, some of them, one time I went out the next morning, and really, you know, kids get up so early, one was still lit. Well, our family always went to church on Christmas Eve, and often we went to the midnight, the 11 o'clock service, and got out at midnight. So we'd see these luminaries coming home. But what was really great is often at that service, they would read the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, it talks about how the light has come into the world, and how darkness is in the world, but the darkness cannot overcome the light. And so standing in that bedroom window looking out those lights, even as a kid, I understood a message about Christmas from that activity that I just don't think would have ever stuck with me so closely, especially at that age. But because my parents took time and did what you all are doing this morning, you're taking time with yourself or with your family to honor Christ and to do that. And so I guess what I would say is today's a great day to be the light. And it's a great day. Kids, today's a great day to just show appreciation and love to your parents and maybe offer to help out at lunch or at dinner and maybe help clean up after the meal's over. You know, really attend to how you can be the light. You know, parents, you know, Christmas is a great time. It can also be a little tense because you've got friends and family and all that coming over. But just if everybody just takes a deep breath today, and at every point, don't get caught up in whatever is starting to get you. Just enjoy the day. Be the light. Because there's a lot of darkness out there. And so the best thing that you and I can do is connect to the light of Christ within us and share that with as many people as possible. So thanks for joining us today. It's been such a pleasure to be here with you, and we hope this has been a blessing to you. And Tim, tell them about the offering.
I will. I want to do that. I also want to encourage you. Tom and I have sat here and shared with you some of our favorite Christmas memories. I hope that you'll do that as well. I hope that you'll sit around your tables, as Tom said, if you're with others, and talk about your Christmas memories. One of my favorite Christmas memories of the last few years is that we wake up on Christmas morning and we go to the website and check out what the Christmas Eve offering was. It's something that we love to do. So I want to encourage you, you can either go to floristumc.org or restorationrestin.org. If you weren't with us for Christmas Eve, what you don't know is that every year we fully give away the Christmas Eve offering. It's such an exciting thing. Go on there, see what the amount is. That number sometimes continues to grow for the next few days, but go on there and check it out. I know that you will be as blessed as I am at the generosity of the people who are part of this church.
One of the fun things about that is to share that information. I don't mean brag about it, but sometimes, you know, our friends or even our family members are a little skeptical about church. And I have found everybody I know, whether they go to church, whether they believe in Jesus, whether they don't, everybody celebrates a church that's generous. We're going to feed the hungry. We're going to take care of children in a developing world who have been through, you know, child labor. We're going to expand our Celebrate Recovery ministry. We're going to feed homeless people right here in Reston. We're going to do so many great things. And so I just hope that you can share that with joy.
So thank you for your generosity. And we just want to say Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas, everybody. We're really glad that you're here.